Galatians 2:20, that's no secret. If you've been around here a while, it's one of my favorite passages, a life verse for me. And you probably have verses like that too. But this is vitamin C kind of stuff. I would encourage you, in fact, I strongly encourage you to memorize Galatians 2:20 because of the implications of it. But that would just be you and the Lord. But I'm grateful for the persons that want to memorize the verses that really speak into your heart. So Galatians 2:20, Paul, the Apostle Paul, writes this about 2,000 years ago. This is what he said. He said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me." What a great, great verse that is. You know, much of my growing up years in the Lord, I never understood this, if I'm honest. It seemed like everybody said amen to it, but it seemed at the time that I didn't quite get it. And I think Paul is having maybe the same struggle, although he received it as from the Lord. Paul says, "I'm crucified with Christ." And we'd say, "What? I'm crucified with Christ." Well, when did that happen? When did you die? What happened? When did that happen? And he would say, about 2,000 years ago, I died. That's how he viewed it. That's how he viewed God looking at it. Nevertheless, as you can see, he says, I'm living, even though I claim to have died. Yet, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, as you can see, he would have pointed to his followers, as you can see, the life that I now live, I live it by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That is a wonderful, life-giving, encouraging word. I wrote this down. It's not hard to live the Christian life. No, it's impossible. I went through a stint of my life, and you probably have of yours, where I attempted to live the Christian life. I gave it my best shot. They said, "Now that you're saved by grace," you know, they didn't say it in so many words, but don't waste it now. God's grace on you. When you need to live for the Lord, and we said amen to that, right? We said yes, live for the Lord. But somebody said at the bottom of every sermon, you should write how. We all agree that we should live for the Lord. We all agree that we should labor for the Lord and be zealous for the Lord and go on mission trips for the Lord. And we don't have a problem with that. It's impossible to do it. Whatever holy admonition would come our way, for example, to love. Have you ever tried to love somebody who you can't even stand? Yeah. And yet we're required, demanded, that we would love. And you can think of all the admonitions that are given to us in Scripture. There are thousands of verses and truth that God would want us to put into our lives. So it's not difficult, it's impossible. It can't be done. I tell the story that one time I was in at the front of the church, it was during the week, and a fellow who had just recent, I mean really, really recent, just given his heart to the Lord, just a month perhaps. And I shouted out to him, I said, "Hey," and he came in. I said, "How are you doing? How are things, right? You gave your heart to the Lord, you're under new management, it's all good stuff. How are you doing?" "Oh, Pastor Owen, I'm not doing very well, but I'm trying my hardest." And with such sincerity in his face, such determination that this was, I'm doing my best. And I said, I'm so sorry to hear that. I am so sorry to hear that because you are doomed. You are doomed to fail. You are doing your best, and after a while, you will hate this life. You will wonder why God made it so difficult and so arduous in that. And you'll be blaming me and you'll be blaming the church because you made the one fatal mistake trying to live the Christian life. It's difficult. And by the way, we prayed together that he would give up trying to live for God and would just yield to the Lord. Let the Lord look after. If the Lord can save you, the Lord can clean you, right? And purify you. If the Lord can save you, then anything is possible. And our job is to yield to the Lord, to let him, I'll cover that as we share. So it's difficult because God has called us, and you may take note of this, God has called us to live by the life of another, with a capital A, to live the life of another. That's how, we're not supposed to live it in our own life, but this other life that God gives us in the Spirit of the Lord. The life he intends and the calling that he has given can only in this way and by his resources be accomplished. And so the life that he intends and the calling that's upon your life, what has to happen? We must say, Lord, I see your word. I see what you require. So now I refuse to use my own energy, but I will use the energy of the Spirit of God who lives in me. And so the resources of the Lord are wonderful. It's more than enough is always supplied. So after we come to know Christ as people who experienced him, you know, you came forward, you gave your heart to the Lord, or you were at an Alpha Supper or somewhere, but you came to know Christ, and then the next task is always, we slowly begin to learn to live by the Spirit. That's our next assignment. Not to do it, but to give yourself to the Lord for him to do it through you. And it's a wonderful thing to learn to walk in the Spirit. Many stumblings. And usually the stumbling, and I can say this, the reason, whenever I failed in my Christian life, it was always without exception of me trying to pull it off, trying to be kind, trying to be helpful, trying to be faithful, trying. And you're in trouble when your Christian life seems more like a job than it does a relationship, right? When it feels like a job and it seems arduous and hard, well, that's because it was never intended. It was never intended for you to live it. It was intended for Christ to live it through you. Huge world of difference. Oh, such a big world of difference. And so I called this the exchanged life. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. I didn't know this before, but people smarter than me said this, that the word renew really means exchange. So it comes out, it translates like this. But they that wait upon the Lord shall exchange their strength. I like that. Exchange their strength. This is the secret. This has always been the secret. It was the secret for Paul, and it's the secret for me, and it's the secret for you. This exchange life. The Christian exchanges his old manner of life the resources, but when we, this old manner, we replace it with this new source of supply, always more than we need, always. The old is replaced by the new. However you lived before, we don't live that way anymore. We yield ourselves to Christ. So weakness is exchanged for strength. This is why it's called the great exchange. Weakness is exchanged for strength. Paul says, when I am weak, where I don't feel I can pull this off, then I am strong. Because I can't pull it off. I want to pull it off, but I can't pull it off. And so we are called not merely to receive his life, imparted, of course, by the new birth. We're called to a full participation in the life of Christ. So it's not just that we trusted the Lord as Savior. Now we trust him as Lord. Now we trust him for provider. There's so many things we trust him for. So it's not just to get your name on the Lamb's Book of Life so we can go to heaven. No. There's a full participation where we're learning to trust in the Lord and let him do what he wants to do in our lives. So here's the sobering truth, that Jesus Christ will only live one kind of life in us. Only one kind. It's a life poured out unto the Father and unto others. That's the kind of life that he blesses. One kind of life poured out. And so when I yield myself to him and say, Lord, live your life through me. I'm available, totally available for you to magnify your name in whatever way you want to. And so Father, it's for you. Cause me to glorify you with my life. I can't do it myself, but you could do it through me. I remember one time getting a very difficult phone call. And I was dreading it with such a dread. I knelt down. I've told you this probably before, but I knelt down beside my desk. And I asked the Lord if he would. I said, Lord, I'm not up for this. Would you be up for it? If I let you. So, Lord, here's what. I don't want to react wrong. I don't want to have this situation. It was personal. It was difficult. I said, Lord, I'm not going to try. I'm just going to be available to you. And so the person came. It was exactly like I thought was going to happen. It was very, very volatile and personal things that were shared. Oh, it was just really a mess. And, but, you know, when it was finished and I hung up, I thought, whoa, Lord, that was you. That was you. Have you ever not had things like that? It just wasn't me. It wasn't me trying to be poised and try to have all the answers. I said, Lord, I don't have any answers. You're going to have to be thou my strength. Be my, so I don't react, so I don't get part of the power struggle. Lord, work through me, love through me, do whatever needs to be done. But this is you. I refuse to labor, and I'm going to trust you. And that was and that person knew, and we both knew what had happened there, that God had touched somehow our lives. But it was a life, what I wanted is to be poured out to the Father, and in addition to that, for others. That's what our life is about. That's why God gives us life. It's not to live for ourselves. We no longer live for ourselves. We live for the Father, and we live for others. That's our mandate. That's our calling. There's no other reason. This new life that's in us, it's to bless people, to encourage people. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Verse 5 is interesting because it talks about these virtues that are added. But listen to this part in 2 Peter chapter 1. According as his divine power. Yes, that's it. A divine power has been given unto us unto all things, whatever the situation. This divine power has given us all that we need to live the Christian life. Is faith needed? Lord, be my faith. Is patience? Lord, be my patience. I look to you. I'm not trying to get out of laboring. It's the changing the power source. Whereas before you met all your needs over here, now all the needs are met here. And that's how we live. And it's a glorious, wonderful thing. Temptations come. We say, oh, Lord, I feel it. So, well, it's not just a matter of, biting your lip and saying, okay, Oh boy, sure having a difficult time with these temptations, but no, that never does the job. We must invite the great exchange to take place. Lord, these are problems greater than I can handle. Would you handle them? Be thou my deliverer. And the walls that can come, you know, there can be situations where walls are erected and it's quite overwhelmingly difficult. These walls that you face, you stop and you don't know what to do, and you seem to be stymied by these situations. And what do? We look away, always looking away from ourselves, looking unto Him. Lord, you break the walls down. I can't do that. No, I haven't got the strength for it. I haven't got the ability for that. And then, of course, I think I wrote down temptations, walls, and giants. Oh, yeah, the giants. The giants in your life that loom up. And what are we going to do about that? I think it's all a part of God's working. And these things come, and He allows them to come, and they give us opportunity to look away from ourselves, to look only unto Him. So what we have to learn is not how to try harder. What we have to learn is not for you to call you up to make one more trip to the front so you can tell God you're going to try harder. And that's often what we do. We go, okay, Lord, I had a terrible week, but I'm going to try better this week. And of course, the week goes by, and we say, well, I didn't do so well, so I'm going to come up again. Now, I really mean it. I'm sorry, Lord, that I was such a failure, but I'm going to try harder now. I remember seeing a T-shirt one time. It said, "How am I doing, Mom?" And the other side of it said, "Try harder." I don't know if you had a mother like that or not, but I think many of us think we say to God, we think this is how it is. God, how am I doing? And God says, try harder. No, it's not try harder. It's to yield more. Yielding more. That is always the secret. So we must learn to live from our new source. Wonderful new source. And as I say, it's not another trip to the altar, but by learning how to cooperate and appropriate that we are in Christ. And the joy of that, and the power of that. So, in our own strength, these things that I'm talking about are impossible. There are people that I don't like. I'm required to like them as a Christian, though, but I don't like them. And there are situations that I face, as you do, and I just can't. I say there's just too many, too much. Yes, I agree. Because it's impossible. You must look away, because as you do, see, every promise in this book is a requirement. Do this, turn here, walk this way. There's all kinds of holy demands. And our job is not to give up on it, but say, Lord, I thank you for this is your word. Now, be thou my strength here, so that I will trust you, look, say, yes, yes, Lord. That's too big for me. I'll have to let you handle that. And after weeks and months and years go by, you realize that you are learning how to trust God, how to live for Him by not working harder, but by yielding more and watching God at work. Oh, it's so exciting when God's at work. And even walking, you're going for an interview, and you don't want to blow it. You don't want to give the wrong response. And so you find yourself saying, Lord, this will have to be you. Because I'm so nervous. I'm not going to be able to do this the right way. So, Lord, you please, Lord, speak through me, share through me, whatever needs to be done in this interview. And you find yourself, yes, and you share your, and you walk out there, thank you. Oh, that was you. That was you, God. You were speaking through me. You were giving me your peace. You were watching over me. Thank you, thank you, thank you for helping. Not for helping me out. Thank you for doing it. Oh, that's how it's supposed to be lived. and you find yourself getting tired, I would say you are trying when you should be trusting. I can always tell when I start getting into, and all of a sudden I've got my hand on it and I'm trying to manipulate it and get the situation turned around, and I can be pretty good at it, at manipulating, that is. I can be pretty good at it, but it doesn't a life. It's not a life pleasing to God. It's not living by the life of another, because it was me just simply using my old salvation ways of trying to live for God, and it's not lived that way. So in our own strength, are you with me on what I'm talking about? I'm not saying that these shouldn't be done. I'm saying, but in our own strength, these things are impossible. But for those who are in union with Christ, all things are possible. And you begin to have this adventure of living for God, turning to away from yourself and looking unto Him. And so we, by the work of the cross, have renounced, these are prerequisites, have renounced our right to, first of all, self-ownership. We've let that go. Our right to self-ownership. Say, Lord, I just belong to You. That's all I'm going to claim. I belong to You. And we have reckoned ourselves, that's a great Bible word, we have reckoned ourselves dead to self. That's why Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, yet not I. See, it's so you give up self-ownership and you reckon yourself dead to self, all that that would mean, and dead to sin, and dead to the world. That's the process. But gloriously alive unto Him. So you find yourself saying, Lord, this is pretty big for me. I feel so overwhelmed. I don't ask You to help me out. I ask You to take over. I love that passage in Joshua. You know the one I mean, where this commander of the Lord's army, I don't know what he is, whether some people think it's Jesus, some people think it's an angel. But anyway, he comes and he draws his sword. And this great line where I'll paraphrase it. He said, Joshua said, who are you? And he said, as commander of the Lord's army, I didn't come to help you out. I came to take over. That's my paraphrase. I didn't come to help you out. I came to take over. Because he says, Joshua said, are you for us or against us? I didn't come to help you out. I came to take over. The Lord didn't come to help me live the Christian life. He came to take over. He came to take over. Completely over. So that I would self-ownership, would that be God working in me, in my attitudes, in my conduct? Have you not been disappointed in your behaviors? Boy, as a Christian, that's pretty, I'm not much of a Christian. Lord, I give that over to You. You show me how I should change my attitude. And we look to the Lord, rather than trying harder, we simply look to the Lord and we find these things begin to be broken over our lives and our hearts. And we find ourselves that we're less self-ownership, reckoned ourselves dead to sin and dead to the world, but yet more alive than you've ever been in your whole life. So the Christian life is not a changed life. It's an exchanged life. We exchange it from the old method to the new method. So Paul writes again, he says, I live. He said, you can see I'm very much alive. Yet no longer I, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. So this life is not something that we ourselves can produce. You cannot produce the Christian life. If it is, it's not that. It's just religious life. There's lots of religious people and religious systems that would call you and this is what you have to do. This is not what you have to do. This is what you trust God to do. You look to Him. Will there be many failures? Yes, especially in the beginning. Why? Because my old patterns of how I met needs and how I responded are very much alive. And it's through failures that I began to learn, I can't work at this as if somehow I could pull it off. I must yield to the Lord and allow Him to do that. This life is not something we ourselves can produce. It is actually living by the life of another, capital A. Living by the life of another. And so Paul is trying to just to encourage us with that, it's not more and do more, be more, love more, try more, care more, share more, but yield more. Lord, I refuse. I can't do that. I just know I can't. I trust You. And it becomes so a delightful way to live. See, we ourselves can produce nothing that lasts. It always has my part of me on it. So this living by the life of another is how God wants you to live your whole life. And what it'll become, I can tell you this. It will become so beautiful, so lovely, that you'll say, I suspected that if it really was good news, the Lord would not come to help me out. He'd come to do it. He would come to do it, not to help you out. I mean, lots of things will help you out, but to take over and to realize and say, wow, life's better than I thought. This is wonderful. It's my job to trust. What's God's trust? To do it. That's how it works. Will there be failures? Yes. Yes, there would be. Because there's something about us that likes to go back under law. You give me, I find it much easier if you give me a list of 10 things that I can do, 10 ways to please God. But it wouldn't be how it's supposed to be lived. Because although we like a set of rules, this is trusting the Holy Spirit to fulfill in you, fill in me, that which is required, what God requires. But it's because He's the one, He's our strength, He's our help. It's not that He doesn't dole it out to you. He is everything you need. And as you look to Him, your wonderful provider, you will be thrilled, especially if you're new in the Lord and you're just learning how this thing works. I tell you, one thing it is, and it isn't try harder. That wrecks up people. And there are all kinds of churches. You know something. There are all kinds of churches that end up telling you you're supposed to live your life. When it's lived by the Lord, and it's wonderful. And I can always feel when I sense legalism coming on, when somebody is trying to put me under law. I said, "Oh no, this is so much beyond what you're trying to sell me here, that I'm living by the life of another. Jesus is center to everything. If God's new system doesn't work, I'm in big trouble. I'm trusting that this works because I believe it does. I've had years to look at that and see, oh, Lord, oh, to trust You more. More of You, Lord, and less of Owen. To trust You. Colossians, chapter 3. There's another verse that's, in some ways, I think it's linked with Colossians. And I'm going to be open this in a few minutes, so you might just be thinking about your thoughts about this. And you may disagree with me, which would be certainly, you're right. Colossians chapter 3. This is what, again, Paul writes. For you have died. What? When that happened? When that take place? When Jesus died. That's how Paul saw it. When Jesus died, He died. It's crucial to this understanding. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. when Christ, who is your life? When Christ, who is your life? He is your life. We have no other life apart from him. No other. Who is Christ when he, who is your life? Beyond your Savior and beyond your Lord to your very life. You are my life. You are the source of all my strength. I bless you. I praise you. You are my life. What a, isn't that a living passage? When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And we say, praise be to God. He's my life. You see, that's why there must be a death to self. There must be a death to self. What did I call it? Self-ownership. We must reckon ourselves dead to self. And actually, so therefore, if I'm tempted to look at something I shouldn't look at, to be able to turn away from that and say, Lord, deliver me from that. Deliver me. I'm dead to that. Thank you. I'm dead to that. Lord, I confess it. I'm dead to that. And maybe it's love that's needed. Say, Lord, I'm fresh out of love. I'm fresh out. If it's up to me, if this is how it's going to be, and I have to do something to do more, I'm done. You know why people leave churches? They leave churches because they don't see any hope of being able to pull it off. They just don't think, they say, I'm done. I can't keep up with the other believers. And everybody in their, here I am back here struggling. And I say, you're struggling because you are still in the driver's seat. But if we are dead to self and to sin and to the world, and as we're learning to see yourself gloriously alive unto him, wow, it doesn't get any better than that. But there's, my heart breaks when I think of so many people that I have known over the years that I know they thought the Christian life was, you know, you couldn't let fail God. But he can't be failed. He's the Son of God. He loves us and cares for us. And he is our life. I don't have any other life. If Jesus is not the source of life, then I'm really in trouble. You're really in trouble. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in you. Lives in you. Now, is that an excuse for carnal living and for sloppy, as we should call it, sloppy agape? What was that? Yeah, there's three other terms like that. Sloppy agape and greasy grace. And I said, well, it could be. People could use that. Oh, I'm just trusting the Lord. He's my life. No, this is more active. This involves a total being. This is profound. Christ is your life. And as you look for whatever demand, come here it is, Sunday. Tomorrow will be Monday. You'll have challenges. And as you go through that day, committing yourself to him for every moment that you need. At the end of the day, you say, well, it wasn't a perfect day by any means, but it was sure exciting to turn every bit over to Christ. Lord, you're my life. Thank you. Lord, you're my life. Lord, you're my life. He never fails me, never fails. And you start practicing that till you find yourself learning how to fling yourself on the Lord and to draw upon his resources, as we say, drawing from the life of another. So God doesn't look to you, he looks to his Son who lives in you. And, well, I don't think I'll stop it at this point, but it's not just another promise to dedicate yourself. There's a place for dedicating, but that's not how it works. We put on Christ. It's a different thing. It's not working. It's trusting. Resting. And by the way, it should feel like a rest because we enter the rest. This beautiful way to live. And ask anyone who understands some things about union with Christ. They'll say, it's a rest. It's not feverishly, you know, working. But are you busy? Oh, sure you are. Oh, absolutely. 24 hours, 24/7, looking to the Lord. Middle of the night, you wake up. Lord, be thou my strength. Afternoon, Lord, I'm really weary today. Oh, strengthen me. Be my strength. Be my help. Be my guidance. Be everything I need. I am looking to you alone. That's how it's lived. And it's gloriously wonderful, as far as I can tell. And if I made it sound like I somehow reached a plateau here, no. Ask my wife. She'll be here in the second service. Ask her if many times Owen is not dead. He's alive. That's the problem. You see, but I think she would say something, though, about the attempt to looking only unto Jesus as the source of everything. He is your life. He's more than just your Savior, more than just your Lord, and more than just your helper. He's your very life. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Imagine when he comes and we say, oh, he's my life. He's been my life for all these years. And Paul knew that. So he writes so well. Amen. So I would just love to hear how you have found entering the rest of the Lord as living the impossible life. What has been your experience? I might have, you can't speak long, but just a little. What has been your experience? What did you find about the Christian life, how it's lived? Did you? Any insights that you might like to share with us? Or you can disagree with what I said if it seemed wrong or seemed off or something. All I can say about what this system is that not only I believe it works, but it leaves you always clinging on to Christ. Always. Okay, anybody? Yeah, please. Wow. Yes, indeed. Amen. Thank you, John. Somebody else? Yeah. Yes. 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 Anybody else? Doesn't have to be profound. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Did you say that just about the first line? Yeah, you can't be required because it's, after all, you're dead. You should have shared that today. I mean, you should have been preaching that. And that was Paul's whole argument. He said, I died. And you see, it's not just twice, over and over and over again. I died. I died to the law, right? Died to self-effort, and yet looking fully to the Lord for him to live his life through it. See, the job will get accomplished one way or another. The question is, what is your power source? It'll get done. Either you'll do it but you always want to look back and say, Christ was my power source now, where he wasn't before, where I was working hard. And sometimes our people are angry at God because he made it so hard. I said, he didn't make it hard. He made it impossible. So you would have only, as Gail said, just one source to trust. That was Christ. Just a couple more, then we'll change the order, as they say. A little louder, just so we can. Yes.
I can't do it myself. It's not in me, and no one else is going to do it for me.
Well, I think if the scriptures are accurate, it's our job is to make ourselves available to the Lord, and he can change. If I say, Lord, I got a temper, or I'm complacent, we simply tell God and say, but I don't want this. I want to be different. I want to be changed. I mean, looking to him, and he will, and I think that's where that process will start. But there'll be a breaking, and it's not always pleasant, though. Yeah. One more. We probably need 50 microphones here that we could. Please. Yeah, I guess perfection is not going to happen in this world. The next world, perhaps, when Christ, who is our life. At the same time, though, it's to be a life of joy. Right? This journey should not be one difficult thing where we're just so dreading the next, thing of it. I think it's when your strength is not you, it gives a real freedom. But looking to Christ to obey him. Was there one more? Did I see? Then let's stand. Amen. Lord, thank you for who you are, and thank you for who we are in you. And we thank you that you're our life. We have no other life but you. And we thank you for that. We fling ourselves on you, and we say, be thou our strength, all that we need. We ask you to bless us, Lord, guide us, direct us, and thank you for choosing us, Lord, who loves us and gave himself for us. Thank you, Lord. You've been so unbelievably generous, so crazy in love with us. We can't even understand it fully, but we thank you for the love of Jesus. And we'll give you praise in your wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Now, come out to the patio if you can. Have a cup of coffee. And we'll neighbor nudge there. We'll carry the class on out to the side here. So thanks for being here this morning. See you in the patio.